Amen. We got a special service for you this morning. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
So they brought up some past about the Mountaineers losing to the Oklahoma Sooners. And the Bible says in Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind you and reaching to those things which are ahead. So I have forgotten about that until they played it. Amen. All right, real quick, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. As you're turning there, I'll tell you a story. We know yesterday was Groundhog Day, so I think it's appropriate that I tell you the story about these three men who died, went before the pearly gates. Peter said, if you want to enter into heaven, you've got to tell me what the true meaning of Easter is. First man said, well, that's the holiday that we celebrate in November where we sit around, eat turkey. Peter said, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The second man said, well, no, that's the holiday that's celebrated on December the 25th, where we gather around a tree and exchange presents. Peter said, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The third man said, no, that's the holiday that we celebrate that coincides with the Jewish Passover, where we celebrate the resurrection, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And just as Peter was getting ready to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, the man proceeded to say, and every year they roll the stone away, and if Jesus comes out and sees his shadow, there's six more weeks of bad winter. Amen. Sabrina told me that joke, so if you don't like it, take it up with her. Amen. Look what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So when he said, I have finished my course, it's almost a metaphor of sports analogy. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 9:24 that we go through a race. And when we go through this race, we need to run it with everything that's within us. And life is like a game. Sometimes you're experiencing the highs of a game where you're winning and it seems like you're ahead. Or maybe you're facing problems in your life where it seems like you're losing and there's no hope and it seems like the game is almost over. But this game that we call life, you've got to realize you've got someone helping you through this. And when you're out there, when you're going through these things, you've got to realize that Satan is always going to throw distractions in your life. Always. I've shared this with the youth before years ago, that one time we were here in service, and I mean, we were just worshiping God. The praise and worship was so intense. I mean, it was intense, and we're just sitting there. We're lifting our hands, and I mean, I'm out of the outer court, getting into the inner court, getting ready to walk into the Holy of Holies, worshiping God. And as I'm worshiping God, His Shekinah glory is about to fall in the service. And I'm looking up, and I'm looking at the structure of the building. Now, I went to engineering school. Engineering is what I do, but it's not who I am. See, you've got to realize that when you do something, don't identify with that job, because if you lose your job, you lose your identity. But I'm a child of the Most High God. But engineering is my background. So I'm sitting there worshiping God. I mean, the Shekinah glory is getting ready to fall, and I look up and I think, you know, I wonder if they used W36 beams going across the structure of the building. Did they space the trusses on 4 or 6 foot centers? I wonder if they used a live load of 100 pounds per square foot, or did they use a snow load of 40 pounds per square foot? And here I am getting ready to worship God, get into the presence of God, and I'm consumed with something frivolous around me looking at the structure of the building. And if I'm being candid with you this morning, most of you know that I sit here in section 2 on the front row because I'm an elder and a catcher here at New Life Church. And there have been times where I look up here and there is a finished nail on this transition strip right here that I'm worshiping God, getting ready to catch someone. And I'm thinking, you know what? We need to get a nail set and set that nail down in the transition strip. So if you see me next week showing up with a hammer and a nail set and a tool belt, I'm going to be working on the stage. I told Barry one time about it, and he countersunk the nail. A week later, it was still popping back up, and I said, well, it's got to be the vibrations from the music that's causing that to pop back up. But those are distractions that we face. Sometimes they're frivolous, and they don't mean anything. But sometimes they're serious. Ladies, if you'll stand up, distractions. 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 Let's go, Mountaineers. What if the distractions are real? Here I am ministering. Most of you are looking at these poster cards. And in college football, college teams use these. Sometimes it's to depict a play or the momentum of what you need to run. But it's also used as a distraction or a dummy call for the other team. And there's times in your life where maybe you're facing a legitimate distraction. Maybe you're facing divorce. Maybe you're facing debt that's insurmountable and you're not sure what you need to do. Maybe it seems like that all hope is gone. Maybe you're over here and you're struggling with an addiction and you've been knocked down so many times you don't even know which way to turn. But I came to send you an email this morning. It doesn't matter how many times you've been knocked down, but it's that you get back up in this game that which we call life and realize that the greater one lives on the inside of you. Thank you, ladies. Distractions. Distractions are always around us. Sometimes you're driving down the road and there's something that just pops up in your head. Or maybe you're like, man, what, you know, how do I cast this thought down? How do I do this? And I was praying one time and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, this seems like my mind is always being attacked. How do I cast these thoughts down that you teach us? Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, he said, casting down those imaginations and vain things that come against the knowledge of God. And I said, Lord, how do I cast those things down? He said, it's easy. You just replace it with what I said in my word. So when Satan is standing there with a billboard or a play card, holding it up saying that you're a loser, that you're never going to amount to anything, you can get into the word of God and replace that thought that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or maybe he says your marriage isn't going to make it, or your children will always be strung out on drugs. You say, no, the Bible says in Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So you cast those distractions down, stand on the word of God, and let God get you through the situation that you find yourself in. So this game in which we call life, you've got to realize that you've got the greater one living on the inside of you, and he's on your team. There's a term that's constantly thrown out. It's been thrown out over the past couple of weeks. We're talking about the acronym GOAT. For all my sports fans, you know what that means. The greatest of all time. Now, I'm looking at Donald Ellis and Tony Hodge right now, some friends of mine. We've discussed this term, and it just means the greatest of all time. Arguably, people say, well, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time because he's went. This is his 9th Super Bowl. He's got 5 rings. He could win a 6th ring today. But it's arguable because in the sense that some people say, well, if Joe Montana would have had Bill Belichick as his coach, he would have went to 9 Super Bowls. So it's arguable. And if I were to take a poll today, I want everyone to participate. If you think Michael Jordan is the GOAT of basketball, NBA, lift your hand up. I want to see. Put your hand down. If you think LeBron James is the GOAT, put your hand up. More Michael Jordan fans. I could have started a riot right there. I mean, just Michael Jordan. But it's the term GOAT, the greatest of all time. You know what the Bible says about Jesus? It says in Colossians 2:15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In other words, though, if we say Tom Brady or Michael Jordan or LeBron James is the GOAT, we can argue about statistics and all these things. But there's one person that's irrefutable, that's undisputable, that cannot be questioned. That is Jesus Christ being the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Revelation 19:16 says he's the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords and he's on your team. The thing about a GOAT is they can always encourage you. They can lift you up when you're down. They can see things that you can't see because he's on your team. Jesus Christ, the God that created the heavens and the universe, is on your team and he is the GOAT. The greatest of all time. Say amen. So when we're in this game that we call life, we got to realize that there's always going to be distractions that come against us. But we know we can overcome these distractions because the greater one lives on the inside of us and he's on our team. He's working on our behalf. But we also got to realize that when you go into a battle or you go into a struggle or all these things, you've got to realize that there's courage down on the inside. I'm running out of time. Time out. Time out. Team, get in here. Get in here. Huddle up. Huddle up. Huddle up, guys. Huddle up. Man, you got... Guys, listen, I know you're tired. It doesn't matter how big the enemy is. It doesn't matter how strong the enemy is. It doesn't matter how fast he can run, how high he can jump. You've got something on the inside of you that is greater than any enemy that comes against you. So Hayden, when we go back out there, so let's look at some plays we can run. Well, when we look in the Word of God, maybe we can look at 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Maybe we can run the play Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe we can run the play Psalms 18:29, that when the anointing comes upon you, you can run through troops and leap over walls. Maybe we can run Deuteronomy 28:7, that when the enemy comes against you one way, God will cause him to flee seven different ways. Maybe we can run 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God for the victory he has given us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but because you are a child of God, you've got courage on the inside of you. You guys believe that?
Yeah.
We can do it. Yeah. Let's get courage on three. Ready? One, two, three. Courage! Now, why is it vitally important that you come to the house of God on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night? Because you've got a pastor that stands up here every service, whether it's Pastor Huffman, Pastor Josh, or a minister that is encouraging you and telling you that you've got courage that can get you through any obstacle, any situation that you find yourself in. Some of you, it took courage just to get out of bed this morning. Some of you, it takes courage to get to the house of God. It takes courage to stay married to a suicidal spouse. It takes courage to see a face affliction in your life. It takes courage to go through debt and struggles and all these problems. It takes courage to suffer with addiction. But I want you to know today that the greater one lives on the inside of you, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. And you've got courage down on the inside that you can draw from. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, in Jesus' name.
Give it up for Billy Manuel. What a great word. I showed up repping my Browns friend, my Browns jersey, my Browns shirt. I'm a lifelong Browns fan. You know, as a Browns fan, I've heard a lot of just awful jokes. We had a couple years where we didn't win a lot, did we, Browns fans? Didn't win a whole lot. We didn't win anything, all right? And so I've heard all the mean jokes. You know, how does a Browns fan count to 10? 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4. How many Browns fans does it take to win a Super Bowl? We don't know yet. We're one of only four teams that have not won a Super Bowl in the modern day football age. But that's all right. That's all right. We got Baker Mayfield, y'all. He's going to help us win. I can feel it. I can feel it. We had our best season yet, and I'm excited about it, all right? We got the Rams and the Patriots in the Super Bowl tonight, right? So how many of y'all are really, really cheering on the Rams? You really want to see the Rams win? How many of y'all are Patriots fans? Let's see the Patriots win. How many of y'all don't care and you just want to see some good football, some fun commercials, eat some good food? That's the majority of us in here. Oh, it's funny. I love watching football games. You know, I was watching the Browns play this past season. If the Browns had just a couple things go their way, they were actually really close to making a playoffs, believe it or not. And it's just, they had a couple games where they played three solid quarters, and when they got to that fourth quarter, something went wrong. Something, failed. They made a mistake. They missed a field goal, missed an extra point. Something didn't happen that should have happened and would have helped them out. But, it made me think about it for today's message that, listen, even if you play well for three quarters, you play well for three full quarters, you can win and lose a game in the fourth quarter. Somebody say amen. You can. You can win and lose a game in the fourth quarter. So many games are actually won or lost in that fourth quarter, in that last bit, because it's in the fourth quarter, that's where the players get tired. It's in the fourth quarter. That's where you've worked so hard, you've strained, you've played, the sweat, the injuries, all the things that have taken place. It's in that fourth quarter where the toughness shows up. It's in that fourth quarter where we really see what you're made of, where we really find out, do you have what it takes to win? Can you really finish this off? It's really in that fourth quarter where you've got to dig deep, We got to see what's really down on the inside of you. You've got to gut it out. It's where the endurance matters most, where the hard work pays off, where you've done, you know, the preparation that was necessary. It's really in that fourth quarter. You know, I wear my team shirts or my jersey, especially when Duke plays. I'm really a big Duke Blue Devil fan. And a lot of times, you know, I'll wear my Duke shirts while they play because I feel like it's good luck. If I don't wear my Duke shirt, then they're going to lose, and they lose because of me, because it's superstitious, I know, and it's stupid. But, I mean, do anybody else in here a little bit superstitious with their sport? It's okay, all right? It's not, whatever. Don't pick on me. I don't take my shirt off at the end of the half, you know, at the first half. And you know, I don't take it off in the third quarter. I wear it through the whole game because I want to see them win, all right? And you don't give up halfway through a game. You don't give up through the third quarter. You don't give up, you know, in the beginning of the fourth quarter. You stick it out until the game is won. You play all four quarters, all right? And the Bible shows us some of this, and there's a powerful scripture about enduring in James chapter 1, verse 12. Put it up on the screen. This is what the Bible says in James 1, 12. God blesses those who patiently endure. Everybody say endure. Endure. Who patiently endure the testing and the temptation, for afterwards they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Those who love him. James gives us two incredible insights for how we endure that fourth quarter of testing, of temptation, of difficulties, of struggling, of what we're going through. And the first one is we have to gut it out for good. Everybody say, gut it out. We've got to gut it out for good. The second one is chase a trophy that lasts. Chase a trophy that lasts, all right? Because here's why. Listen, everybody, I don't care what you're doing, how you're living, what you're going through. Everybody at some point will go through fourth quarter fatigue. Isn't it the truth? Everybody will. At some point, you'll go through that fourth quarter fatigue. At every kind of cycle, at every kind of endeavor, at every kind of situation or in life, you will go through a moment where you are fatigued. You'll go through a moment where you are tested, you are challenged, where it is difficult, where you really have to focus, you really have to work hard, and you've got to have that extra endurance in order to finish, in order to win. So we gut it out for good. In other words, let's put it practically. Every marriage is going to have a moment where there are seasons or cycles of fatigue, difficulties, complications, you know, where it's not as fun to be married because one of the spouse is dealing with an addiction or dealing with a struggle, and you're questioning, what should I do? Should I stick with it? Should I not? And marriage fatigue starts to settle in. It wasn't quite what you signed up for, and it's difficult, and you know, you're looking at it thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great? And if you've had this thought, keep it to yourself. This isn't, you know, don't give yourself up on this one. But we've all had this moment where you think, oh, if I could just really say what I want to say, just get it off my chest, rah! You know, that might make for some really great reality TV, but terrible for real life. Because the moment you start really going there and you start really letting it go, then it starts to cause lots of damage. It starts to get hurtful and harmful. And, you know, then there's fatigue in the marriage, fatigue in relationships, fatigue. And, you know, that's when that's in that moment you need to exercise the patience, the love, the compassion, the strength to do the right thing. Guess what you've got to do in those moments when it's really difficult and it's really complicated and your faith has been stretched and your patience has been stretched? That's the moment where you've got to gut it out. You've got to gut it out. You've got to stick with God. You've got to stick with the Word. You've got to trust the Holy Spirit. You've got to lift those hands in praise, even though you don't feel like it. You got to bow to your knees and pray, even though you don't feel like it. It's that fourth quarter fatigue. You got to gut it out. Everybody say, gut it out. It's something we're all going to face. You know, every mom faces that with kids. You got that 2 or 3 year old tantrum throwing baby and it's gone crazy. And, you know, are you parents of teenagers? You got teenagers and they're, you know, I'd like to say it gets easier, but it doesn't, because problems only get more complicated. I wish that the problems as for parents, you know, were kids crying because they didn't get their sucker or they didn't get their sippy cup or they didn't get their, you know, but as they get older, it just gets to be really more complicated, difficult. And every parent of a teenager knows, you know, you have that moment where you think, you know what? I'm checking out today. going to let the smartphone be the parent, and I'm going to sit in my room, and I'm going to watch Netflix, and I'm just going to enjoy my day. Everybody has that moment where you just want to disconnect, but you know what? You can't do that. You got to gut it out, moms and dads. You got to gut it out. I know it's not easy, but it's difficult, but you know, you got to gut it out. You got to deal with these things, all right? You want a break, and a Kit Kat won't cut it. Gut it out, because it's in that moment, that's where your greatest moment as a parent will come through. In the most difficult moment, that's where you need to gut it out and trust God and really lean on His strength. And that's also the moment where the Bible declares that God will provide that strength for you in your weakest moment when you need to gut it out. You know, when I was younger, I'll be 40 years old this year. When I was younger, early 20s, I had a minister who shared some really great advice with me, and it was really, really great advice, and I'm going to share it with you today, and when I share this with you, you're going to look at me, and you're going to be like, that's it? But yeah, but it's really been helpful for me, and it's really made a difference in my life. And so he said, Josh, here's the deal. You're going to do great things for the Lord. You're going to work hard. You're going to climb mountains. You're going to move mountains. You're going to do awesome things for the kingdom of God, all right? I can see that. I can sense that in you. You're going to be used by God in a great and mighty way, okay? Continue to do it. But he said, but take this lesson from an older generation. He said, there's going to be moments where you get tired. There are going to be moments in life and in ministry where you're going to get fatigued, and it's going to be tough. And he said, don't overestimate what horrible things you're capable of doing when you're fatigued. So this is what he told me. This is the advice. And so you're going to want to write this down and save this forever, because it's so important. It's going to change your life, okay? He said this: when you are so fatigued and you're facing that weakness, don't do anything stupid. I was like, don't do anything stupid? He said, no, that's my advice. Don't be stupid. I was like, really? Is that in the Bible? He was like, I'm pretty sure it is. Don't do anything stupid. Listen, the majority of people in this room, not in this room, the majority of people have done a series of stupid little things. Stupid little things in moments of fatigue, fourth quarter fatigue, that keep undoing all the good that God wants to do in your life. Stupid little things that you look back and you go, God, why was I that stupid? What was I thinking? All right? And I'd be embarrassed to tell you all the moments that I've had in my life where I've leaned on this. Don't do something stupid. All right? Don't do something stupid. Every one of us face this. All right? Listen, Billy and Sabrina are leading a class right now. They're right over here. See, I'm so used to you guys being over there. They're leading Financial Peace right now. FPU, Financial Peace University. I could have financial discipline. I could go through the steps. I could be pulling back my savings, and I could be investing, and I could be, you know, paying off my debt and doing it all. And in just a small, weak moment of fatigue, grab a credit card and ruin 18 months of solid work and discipline could screw everything up in less than 30 seconds. Just one stupid moment. Don't do anything what? Stupid. That was his advice to me. I thought that was actually pretty good advice, don't you think? Don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything stupid. I don't need that car. I don't need that extra shirt. I don't need that. I don't need it. Don't do anything stupid. How many times have we been watching a game? We've been watching a game, and in the fourth quarter where it's real serious, all right? Like tonight, there's going to probably be a moment in the game where it's the fourth quarter, and one of the defensive players ends up with like a crazy pass interference call or an unnecessary roughness. Ref comes out, blows the whistle, throws a flag, 15-yard penalty, which saves the offensive team and keeps the drive alive. And we'll all be watching that game, and we've all had these moments where we're watching our favorite team play and something stupid happens and we go, oh my God, that was so stupid. How can you be so? And you know what? They were. They were stupid. They shouldn't have done that. We've all been there. We've all had those moments where we did something stupid we should not have done, and we should have done what God's word told us to do. It can happen. Listen, under peer pressure, you got friends making dumb decisions, stupid decisions, teenagers and kids. Don't do anything stupid, okay? Gut it out. Always choose the hard right decision over the easy wrong decision. That's gospel for you this morning. Don't do anything stupid, all right? It can happen in your faith. You're walking with God. You're getting weary, and you're, you know, you've been confessing. You've been speaking the word. You've been loyal. You've been faithful. You've been giving. You've been trusting. You've been serving. You've been doing everything you know to do, and it's for some reason you go through that fourth quarter fatigue, and that fatigue settles in, and in that moment of fatigue, in that moment of weakness, you can do one of two things. You can either trust God and really give God your heart and really dig deep and gut it out, or you can allow the enemy to take advantage of your weakness and you end up doing something stupid and it ruins the good that God had been building and developing in your life. We've all got to face that moment in the fourth quarter where we have to gut it out. Gut it out for the good. Gut it out for growing and allow God to work this. But that also leads me to my next point, and that is this: chase a trophy that lasts. Cliff, go get that for me. Chase a trophy that lasts. You know, He's not talking about a crown, about a king, a queen's crown, all right? He's talking about, in this passage, an athlete, all right? An Olympic winner who gains and earns this crown and gets celebrated. But the Olympic winner also knows that in 4 years, he's not going to be celebrated anymore unless he wins it again, all right? Now, Cliff's bringing out one of my prized possessions for this season, all right? Do you see this giant trophy? I won this trophy. This is mine. Do you know what I won? I won playing fake football. This is our fantasy football trophy with my league that I'm in, all right? That's right. I'm looking at all these losers who are in my league. We have arguments, petty arguments. We have a group text where we end up calling each other names and hurting each other's feelings, have to apologize. Do you want to know why? That right here, this nearly 6 foot tall, glorious trophy that we have, with our own Sharpie handwritten skills, written the name of the winners because we're too cheap to have it inscribed. Every year that trophy gets passed around to the winner. I've won 2 years in a row. That's why I've got it right now. My name's the only name on there that's 3 times winner. Just throwing that out there for you guys as well. But James said this. James said, listen, if you're going to chase a trophy that lasts. Now, here's my question to you. As much as I have fun with this, does this last? As much as I have fun with this and I enjoy the camaraderie more than anything in the world with the fantasy football. But realistically, does this really in life matter? No, it really doesn't. But James is saying, if you're going to give your life to something, give it to something that lasts. If you're going to work for something that lasts. We've got this list of things that last. Does God last? Yes. Does His word last? Yes. Does His truth last? Does His love last? Yes. Things that last. Pursue things that last. Does Jesus last? Yes. He's saying chase a trophy that lasts. You know, James had to figure out what lasts, and so he changed his life accordingly. And see, James early on, he wasn't a real big fan of Jesus. He was a half-brother of Jesus, and you know, how would you like to be the sibling of Jesus? How do you think that would go for you? You know, your parents are constantly comparing you. Well, Jesus cleaned his room. Gosh! Why can't you be more like Jesus? Nobody can be more like Jesus. I'm going to my room. How's that for a sibling, you know? James. No. So James, he grew up hearing, why can't you be like your brother Jesus? Why can't you be like your brother Jesus? He did this and he did. Jesus finished his spinach and Jesus didn't. And you're like, gosh, you know? And so James had to deal with, figure these things out, and Jesus was so perfect. And then James, Jesus moves away, and James is like, yes, finally. And then Jesus, you know, he's crucified on the cross and raises from the dead, and James is like, well, I can't compete with that. I mean, really, Jesus? But he figured out who Jesus was. He figured out who Jesus was. Even as his half-brother, he figured out who Jesus was. And listen to this. When you figure out who Jesus is, you don't fight him, you follow him. When you figure out who Jesus is, you don't fight him, you follow him. That's who he is. Jesus is love, his strength. And, you know, there are going to be times in our life where we're going to have to gut it out. They're going to have to do that tonight. They're going to have to gut it out in the fourth quarter. One of these teams are. They're going to play as hard as they can. They've worked their whole lives for this moment. But they've worked for a, and I'm not trying to diminish their accomplishment in any way, but they've worked really hard for a Super Bowl ring that fades. For a trophy that, while it's immensely celebrated in our culture, it doesn't last. It just doesn't. And so when we're trying, when we're working, when we're playing, when we're doing these things, the Bible says, listen, when you are fatigued, endure. Gut it out for good. Don't let the enemy undo in a dumb moment, a stupid moment, all the good that God has been growing and developing in you. But also, if you're going to endure, chase a trophy, not one of these, one of these. Chase the trophy that lasts, something that will continue, that will leave a legacy to your family, to your children, to their children, something that doesn't fade, that doesn't rust, that doesn't get forgotten, something that continues on and on. Somebody, again, is going to win that Super Bowl ring tonight. We're going to have fun with it. I hope it's the Rams. But either way, that ring will fade. Chase what lasts.